The reading before the lesson this morning will be from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endureth such a hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.
It never fails that our dear brother, Brother Ryan, when he gives the focus for the Lord's Supper, never ceases to teach me something. And as I was sitting there, I was saying to myself, you don't even deserve to be in a location such as this, to have good brethren that love the word and are willing to express the word the way that the word needs to be expressed, so we give God the glory. We're not esteeming you, Brother Ryan, but we're giving God the glory because we're able to focus in on who we are, especially that point that he made concerning the sacrifice bearing the weight. And brethren, Jesus did bear our weight, but we have to do our part. And I don't know about you, but sometimes Brother Mike just doesn't do his part, and so I need that sacrifice. And so let's always keep in mind that it is a blessing to be here on the first day of the week. You could have been anywhere else, and some did choose to not be here for whatever reason. Some justified, some not. But the very fact that you're here, we want to thank God that you're here because you made the greater decision. You could have allowed the distractions of this life to keep you from coming to services on this morning, rendering praise and honor and homage unto God and edifying your brethren. You could have been selfish and stayed home. And so we thank you for being here because this is where you're supposed to be. The joy of servanthood. You think of this great text that was read by our dear brother, Brother Lane. And you consider the background of this great book, Jesus being superior. Jesus being number one. The system of Jesus Christ, the system of Christianity being superior to that of the Mosaic system. You think of that great system that the Hebrews writer is expressing to the people of God who were retreating Jesus Christ and running to Moses. How dare they? How dare they run from Christ and run to Moses as if Moses was the Savior? It would be Peter in Acts chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 that would proclaim and exclaim very clearly from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 through 18 that, well, Jesus would be that great prophet. He would be the one that we need to be running to and listening to. And every man that does not listen to that great prophet will be cut off. And so here we have the people of God who are running back to the law of Moses because of persecution and other reasons, but mainly because of persecution. And for 13 long chapters, at least from a translation perspective, we have this Hebrews writer doing all that he can to get the people of God to see that Jesus is the one that you need to be looking to. He's the one you need to be considering. He's the one that truly knows what it means to give his life a sacrifice. And you ought to be doing the same. When I was considering the text and studying this week, I came across a passage in the first, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 11. And in verse number 10, Paul would tell Timothy, for the love of money. And then he would tell him that he need to flee those things. But then he would say, follow after. And in the very next phrase, he would say, fight the good fight. But there's a word in 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 11, and that word is patience. Follow after patience. Now watch this. That word in the Greek language is the Greek word hupomone. It literally means to bear underneath the burden. Here, when we understand the joy of servanthood, at times, brethren, that is couched under the idea of bearing up under the burden. Because servanthood at times is a burden. Yet, we know that this burden is a great burden because this burden here has a goal in mind. It has a hope in mind. It has something waiting for us. And so when I considered the idea of servanthood, that's the theme for this particular month. And when we consider the joy of servanthood, I want to read for emphasis sake, and then we'll get into some thoughts and I'll have you out by 1 o'clock. Y'all smile. It'll be less than that. Therefore, we also, verse number 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. It's interesting. He just went through what is known as the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. He brings up all of those characters who by faith, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God, did the will of God. So we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, martyrs, if you will, those who gave their life for a greater cause than themselves. I believe that's key to our understanding today. Giving themselves for a greater cause than themselves. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Hebrews 3:19, the sin of unbelief, which so easily ensnares us. And every sin is because of unbelief. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now watch this. Gazing unto Jesus, literally in the Greek. Looking unto Jesus, the New King James rendering. The author and the finisher of our faith, our trust, our confidence. Now, look at this next phrase. Who for the joy that was set before him. Brethren, don't overlook that. Because everything that Brother Ryan said this morning, I was thinking about this phrase. Brother Ryan, who for the joy, what Jesus went through, the suffering that he went through, the beating that he took, he didn't do that for himself, friends. He did that for sinners. And who for the joy that was set before him, watch this, endured the cross. You remember the cross. You remember what he went through. You remember the suffering, the beating of Isaiah chapter 53 verses 1 through 12. His visage was so marred that he was unrecognizable. Isaiah 52 and verse number 10 through 13. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You remember how they wagged their head at him. You remember how they spat upon him. You should remember those things. And the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him. Joy? Really? Jesus, you saw that as a joy? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Watch this. Despised the shame. The shame of the cross, friends. The shame of the cross was nothing to glory in, if you will. But he did not look at the shame of the cross as something that he needed to be ashamed of. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. They stripped him naked. They ridiculed him. You name it, they did it. Psalm 22. They embarrassed him. And the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, but this was the reason why, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He had something to look forward to, brethren. And so when we consider, what is servanthood? Servanthood, and don't mistake it with service. Servanthood has a broader scope, if you will. If you notice the screen, servanthood focuses more on the role rather than the service itself. Here, Jesus understood his role of being that propitiation, that satisfaction for sin. He focused on the role. And because he focused in on the role, the service just followed. I learned from my trainer. I have a trainer, I do a little boxing. And he says that when you punch, the elbow has to follow the punch. And so if you punch, you got to go like that. And I said, oh, that makes sense. And so when you think of servanthood, the service follows the service, the servanthood. You can't truly have servanthood unless you have something following it. I can say I'm part of the brotherhood, but if I'm not being brotherly, how much am I part of the brotherhood? And so when we consider servants or servanthood, it focuses more on the role of service rather than the service itself. Jesus would take on the role of a savior, of the savior. And the Bible demonstrates to us that he always did the will of God. But notice this particular idea here. Jesus' attitude towards servanthood demonstrates the example that we ought to follow, Mark 10. You remember that text there where Jesus says very plainly, I did not come to be served. Now watch this. But to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. Now stop and think about that. When we stop and we consider servanthood, you cannot have servanthood without service, and you can't have service without servanthood. They go hand in hand. Jesus knew I was Savior. I'm going to be the Savior of the world, and I come to offer a service for mankind. What service was that? Savior. No one else can take that role. Jesus is the only one that can occupy that role. Again, the joy that was set before him. But what is joy? I'm glad you asked. When we stop and we consider joy, there's some synonyms that I want you to consider. Now think about this. Cheerfulness, gladness, calm delight, the blessedness of sitting at the right hand of God. You look the word up in the original language, you'll find those particular definitions. But I want us to consider this, because in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, take notice of this again. Here he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he saw the joy in suffering. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty difficult. Especially when you're suffering for doing what is right, especially when you're suffering for righteousness, especially when you have done nothing wrong, what joy is that? Jesus said there's joy in that. The Hebrews writer demonstrates to us there's great joy in doing what is right and suffering for the same. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Brethren, there is joy in suffering. The joy that was set before Jesus, Jesus was willing to die for sinners, even though sinners did not love him. Romans 5, verse 8. Doing the will of his Father was his delight. The suffering was part of the gift. Brethren, did you get that, brothers and sisters in Christ? The suffering that Jesus endured was part of the gift. We know that Jesus Christ is a gift. John 3 and verse 16, we know that he was a gift to humanity, not just his word, not just salvation, but Jesus Christ himself, the body that he had coming into this world was a gift for us. Again, Brother Ryan, it goes back to putting your hand on the sacrifice and allowing the sacrifice to bear the brunt of the weight. And no wonder when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're remembering his death. Where did he die? On the cross. When did he die? On the cross for mankind, for us. Brethren, it was a joy for him. And when we stop and we consider the cross, it was a symbol of crime. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 23. In Luke 23, we find some very interesting words. In verse number 39, don't have time to read all of this, but I do want to highlight some things. Then one of the criminals, where are we? We're at the cross. One of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God? Do you not even reverence God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." Brethren, did you hear that? "But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now notice, brethren, even the thief knew that this man did nothing wrong. The cross was a symbol of a crime committed. Jesus did not commit a crime. Go to Galatians chapter 3 and let's close this out, this particular idea. In Galatians 3 and verse number 13, we understand that when one was on the cross, they became a curse. Christ, verse number 13, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Watch this. Having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Brethren, Jesus said, "Who for the joy?" Or the Hebrews writer said, "Who for the joy that was set before him?" It was a joy, Jesus, for you to become a curse for us? It was a joy. Did that for you. How many of us would have done that? Can we imagine doing that for someone else? But he did it for us. We have 7 billion people on this earth now. I remember listening to some lessons back in the 90s. And at that time, they were saying about 5 billion people on the earth. So from the 90s to now, we've increased over 2 billion people. Which means, Brother Royce, 2 billion more people need to hear the gospel. Need to be exposed to the gospel. Need to hear what Jesus Christ did for them. We stop and we consider this. He said this was a joy. What is our role in servanthood? What joy do we have in servanthood? I want us to consider point number one. Turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 29. Can we enhance our joy in servanthood? Our role in servanthood should be to obey God. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 29, received this text from a brother this week, and I sent it out because it was a great text. And I pondered and I've been meditating on it and thinking about it. But I want us to consider this particular verse in verse number 29. He says, oh that they had such a heart in them that they would reverence me, fear me, and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Brethren, if you take notice, when we think about true servanthood, service to God, God wants us to reverence him. He wants us to have a heart toward him. He wants us to keep his commandments, all of his commandments, not cafeteria style. When I was a kid, we used to go to Luby's. Y'all probably don't know anything about Luby's. They still have those in San Antonio and other areas. But we used to go to Luby's, and I remember you could pick whatever you wanted. Pick whatever you wanted. Whatever you want to buy, you can buy it. It was cafeteria style. You know, when it comes to Christianity, there's no cafeteria style. You got to take all of it. Can't pick and choose what you want to do. In servanthood, we have to do all of what God will have us to do. And so when we consider keeping all of the commandments, why? Because we want things to be well with us. Want things to be well with us. And so three things I want us to consider under this particular point. Number one, we must focus on cleansing our hearts. Our obedience to God is governed by the message of God. Brethren, what's in your heart that needs to be cleaned up? Turn to Psalm 119. Look at verses number 9 through 11. Of course, the psalmist is talking to young people, but it's not exclusively to them. Because truth be told, God is the Ancient of Days, and all of us are young in comparison. And because he is the Ancient of Days, he can teach us. He says, how can a young man, here it is, cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word with my whole heart. Notice the emphasis on whole that I put there. With the whole heart, I have sought you. I have investigated you. I have inquired of you. Oh, let me not wander. Let me not mentally go astray from your commandments. Your word have I treasured, have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. What's in your heart that needs to be cleaned out? I think if we were to really examine ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5, whether we be in the faith, test ourselves, we'll see some things that just need to be cleaned out. That's fine. It's okay. The problem is allowing the defilement to remain in there. Brethren, we're in service to God. And those who come before God must regard him as holy. And God is holy. Again, I've told you before and I'll tell you again. There's some Sundays I get up and I wish somebody else could preach. Why? Because the heart is not right sometimes. And you got to get it right before you get up here and talk to the people of God. For whatever reason. And so when you consider the second point under there, we must focus on Christ and his commandments. We're under the law to Christ. And whatever Christ commands, being his servants. And brethren, make no mistake about it, we're his servants. We're not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Jesus Christ. And we got to keep that in the forefront of our minds. So we're looking to him. Why? Because he secures our path for living. We look to him. Why? Because he's our example. And he encourages us to hang on. Brethren, he could have easily called legions of angels, but he went through with it. Why? He hung in there. Brethren, we got to hang in there. We got to hang in there with our spouses. We got to hang in there with our children. We have to hang in there with the Lord's church. We need to hang in there with truth. Don't compromise the truth. Don't lay the truth aside. We got to hang in there. Jesus did. We can. His victory demonstrates our goal and our potential. Brethren, do we understand how great we can be because of Jesus Christ? Because of the word of God dwelling in our hearts richly, Colossians 3, verse number 15 through 17. Why? Because meditating on the word of God, Philippians 4, verse number 8, puts me in a position to make good decisions. And even when I don't make a good decision, I look to the Christ, the author and the perfecter of my faith. I make it right. And so we must focus on companionship in Christ. Go to Philippians 2. Look at verse number 25 through verse 30. As I was pondering this particular point, it caused me to think about Epaphroditus. Many people don't refer to Epaphroditus, but Paul did because he loved him. He saw great benefit in him. He says in verse number 25, yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Watch this. My brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministers to my need. Now watch this. Since he was longing for you and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice. When you see him again, you may rejoice. Brethren, Epaphroditus was a companion in Christ. He was a soldier in arms. He was part of the servanthood of Christ. When we are part of that servanthood, we're servants of Jesus Christ, we're actually working and getting involved in the lives of people, whether in Christ or outside of Christ. Brethren, when we get sick, people ought to say, where is that guy? I miss that guy. Oh, I hope he gets well. I hope she gets well. Why? Because of the great asset that he is, or he was, at this particular time. But look at verse number 29. He says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death. He wasn't sick because of making bad decisions. He wasn't sick because he ate something he should not have eaten. He was sick because he probably was overworking himself in Christ. He was a servant of God. He was part of the servanthood of God. He didn't regard his own life, that he may supply what was lacking toward me, he said. Brethren, the more I considered Epaphroditus, the more I was thankful to even know a man like that in the scriptures. Aren't we thankful to know men like this, people like this, willing to work real hard? Not hardly working, but work real hard. Jesus worked real hard to save mankind. It wasn't nothing easy about what Jesus went through. And you think about all of the pain and the agony. And I'm not talking about just the scourging, but just dealing with those religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes, and how he was dealing with his own disciples. And I don't believe that was too hard on him. But on many occasions, he would have to tell his disciples again, oh, ye a little faith, how long shall I be with you? Brother Royce, can you imagine that? You don't get it yet? I mean, he's working with them. But that was all was a joy to him. Point number two, our servanthood is not always convenient. I remember old preacher one time, he's training us, and it's about 12 of us, San Antonio, 95, 96, 7, 98. And he said, as a servant, you may just get home. And your meal is on the table and wife is happy to see you, and next thing you know, you get a phone call. You got to get up and go. And you have to say, baby, I just put the meal in the microwave. I'll eat it when I get home. Brother Mike, what do you mean? Jesus was always interrupted. Always. Y'all put those passages down. He gives an illustration in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, a friend at midnight. And really, the idea there is that you can go to God at any time. But here, friend of midnight, got someone, he's knocking on the door, it's midnight. He said, my children are asleep. I can't give you any bread right now. You know what his teaching was there? You can go to God at any time. He's not asleep. Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, verses 38, 39, they requested that he would come and heal Peter's mother-in-law. Requested. And know what he did? He went to the house. But John chapter 9 was probably my favorite. Don't have time to look at all of that. But remember in John chapter 8, Jesus was about to be stoned by the religious leaders of that time. You remember what he said? Before Abraham was, I am. That's what he said. And they're ready to kill him. Jesus is on the run, metaphorically speaking. Comes across a blind man in John chapter 9 and stops to have a conversation with him. Hold on, Jesus. You're on the run. Are you going to stop and have a conversation with a man? Yeah, this man is important. What is the application for us? When someone requests our attention as servants of Jesus Christ, doesn't matter how late it is, We ought to go there. I know my phone rings sometimes. I have not seen a little bit. Half sleep driving. Why? The brethren need you. And you know if you got a problem at night, you get out of the bed, you go to the couch, and you start praying to God. You don't want God to be asleep. So if someone calls on you, don't put the phone on silent, and you know that you could do something about that. If you can go help someone out, as in Jesus helping out Peter's mother-in-law, you need to do that. But sometimes we're so busy. I put this one in on purpose. John 9, Jesus on the run. He could have easily said, hey, blind man, these people are trying to stone me. I can't wait. I got to keep going. I'll catch up with you later. We can't have that attitude either. Why? Because this man needed his eyes opened. Are we too busy? Are we too busy, brethren? All of us are. Every last one of us. Taking kids to here, taking kids there, going over there, taking care of this transaction, going to the always. But as Christians, brethren, we're part of the servanthood of Christ. And there are a bunch of people out there that need their spiritual eyes open. Y'all pray for me. I'm supposed to be having coffee with a Baptist preacher in the morning. I look forward to it. Nothing may not come out of it, but something may. Just never know. We ought to be looking for opportunities, brethren. Watch this point. Servants are inconvenienced at times. We are inconvenienced at times. Don't be so busy doing what you believe you need to do that you don't do God's will. You're not that busy. And if you are, you need to loosen yourself a little bit and give God more opportunities to work through you. Servants of God must serve with joy. But that last one, servants may see trauma at times. I stopped and I was considering this. You think about Jesus, and you remember when he was in the hinder part of the ship. I'm almost finished. I'll let you go here in a minute. The winds and the waves were roaring. The disciples were afraid, saying, Lord, careth not that we perish? That's what they said. Watch this. Jesus is back there asleep. He gets up and he rebukes the winds and the waves. What do we learn? That he was willing to do what was necessary for the people of God in order for them to see that they could trust him. Service may require to be inconvenienced at times. But brethren, we have to do this with joy. We have to have joy, gladness, cheerfulness, and knowing that we're actually doing what God will have us to do. But turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, under the point, servanthood may see trauma at times, may see trauma in the field. I've had many conversations in the last couple of weeks, and it's difficult when you hear people making bad decisions and they're ready to leave their spouse. That's trauma. Making bad decisions and their child died over some overdose. That's trauma. Making bad decisions and now they have to look for some other type of occupation. Making bad decisions and because they've been drinking and driving. I've experienced all of that this week. And as servants in the field, we're going to experience a little trauma. Don't run from it. In Luke chapter 10, we come across a man that was beaten and left for dead. Jesus gives this illustration concerning one's neighbor. Verse 30. Certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. You go read the rest. Because in that story, you'll find that there was a Samaritan that actually stopped and he saw all of this trauma, cleaned him up, took him to an inn, paid the fare. When I come back, if I owe you anything, I'll pay it. Brethren, don't run from the trauma. Servanthood requires us at times seeing people at their lowest state in life. I'm talking about just low. Bad financial decisions, bad career decisions, bad decisions in their homes, bad child rent. You see it all. You see it all. Here we come and we have some type of hope to give them. And even though we might not be able to help them right there initially, maybe over a long period of time, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, we can help them out of situations. Maybe you are one in those type of situations. Made some very bad decisions. We can help you. It may take time. But brethren, servanthood, that's part of it. And I see and I hear so many things. It makes sense why Jesus told his disciples, let's go to a high mountain apart and let's get some rest. Why? Because when you're working with people, you notice I didn't say dealing with people. When you're working with people, it requires a lot out of you. And brethren, I see why people stay away from service in the kingdom. Why? Because it takes a lot out of you. And so, last but not least, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a good brother named Sean Payton. He's a preacher in the Lord's church. Some like him, some don't. I like him. I believe he's sound. I believe he's trying to do what's right. But every Sunday he sends me 1 Corinthians 15:58. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. And that caused me to think about something. It caused me to think about some other passages. When we're doing what is right, and it seems as if people are cheating us out of our resources because we're trying to help them, do we get upset about that? Yeah, we do. But brethren, remember that God knows what we're doing. Listen to this. Are we being cheated when someone takes our resources and time without regard to using them properly? No. Why? Proverbs 19 and verse number 17. Because when we have pity on the poor, we're lending to the Lord. Do you know that? When you are helping someone, you have to have the mentality, of course, through investigation, making sure that you're using wisdom, but you need to know that I'm giving to the Lord when I'm actually helping my fellow man. But also, in Matthew 25 and verse number 40, Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. We have to be resolved that we're just doing what God will have us to do. We're just unprofitable servants. But remember when David got so upset with Nabal in 1 Samuel 25 verses 1 and following, and Nabal did not appreciate the benevolent work that David did in guarding his area, guarding his animals, guarding his life, if you will. David got so upset that he gathered up 400 men and chariots. He was going to go kill Nabal. And through the wisdom of Abigail and God, they stopped him, reasoned with him. He retreated from that. And in verse number 38, yes, God smote Nabal. You know what that tells us? You do what's right and you let God handle that. You just do what's right. Servanthood requires us doing what is right. But turn to Hebrews 6, and this will be my last point under that main point. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. In Hebrews 6 and verse number 10, here the Bible records for us, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Brethren, Sometimes we have to just have in our minds, I did what was right, God was pleased, and that's enough for me. That's enough. Servanthood? Oh, yes. Is there joy in it? It really is. There's nothing else that we really should rather do than serve God and serve man. And even when we fall on our face, metaphorically speaking, we ought to say, Father, you've been so good to me, I can't turn away from you. I have to come back to you, and I love you for that. Brethren, let's keep that in mind as we're being servants, as we're serving. And keep in mind, brethren, that we're here to serve and not have the Western mentality, serve me. No, we're here to serve. And so let's have a word of prayer, and I'll offer the invitation. Great God and Father, you're good to us, and for that we're thankful. We're also thankful that you have blessed us with great men in such powerful congregation of people to teach us, remind us. We're thankful, dear Father, for your word. We know, dear Father, that your word is what builds us up, encourages us, liberates us, shows us how to be servants like your son, Jesus. Father, help us to fall in love with servanthood. Help us to have joy in servanthood. Help us not to grumble and complain about being your servants. And sometimes the people you have entrusted us to serve. And Father, I'm not talking about us as leaders, but us as Christians. You have blessed us by giving us salvation, giving us a hope. We pray, dear Father, that we'll keep that in the forefront of our minds like your son did, knowing that he was one day set at your right hand. Help us to know one day we'll be in your presence if we would just have joy in servanthood. Pray, dear Father, that you bless us according to your will, that we will always serve you with all of our hearts. Forgive us when we fall short and when we sin against thee. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider Christianity, service, servanthood. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God, and repenting of sin, and confessing Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of sins. Maybe a child of God and you have been derelict in your duty concerning service and servanthood. Brethren, let's just repent of that and let's just move forward as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.